welcome to another episode of This Is Your Captain Speaking. This is your captain speaking, Neil. And Ruffler is on the, behind the scenes on the ones and twos. Say hi, Ruffler.
I'm here. I'm not missing. I know it's been a while, but I'm back now. And I'm in the background supporting the captain.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Just making sure the bells and whistles are still on because, you know, the captain's quarters can be kind of dirty at times. And, you know, it's good to have more than one person in here because, yeah. Usually I don't let other people in the captain's quarters. Y'all know that by now. But, you know, when it comes to the hosts of the Banter Pub, they are always welcome. But they got to knock and wipe their shoes and put their shoes by the front entrance. Those are the rules of the captain's quarters. Two of the main rules. Anyway. Enough of the rules of captain's quarters. Y'all know the deal. I usually keep these brief, 10 to, you know, could be 15 minutes, could be 20 minutes, could be 30 minutes of me talking about an immediate issue facing the beautiful game. And because we are in the midst of one of the most thrilling Women's World Cups in history right now happening in Sydney, right now happening in Australia and New Zealand, you know, One of the major things coming out, if not the results so far in the group stage, we are still in the early stages of the group stages, so there's still a lot to play for right now. But what's interesting is there was one major story that's not getting a whole lot of traction that happened a couple of days ago, as of me jumping in the captain's quarters and recording this. There was a situation that occurred before one of Morocco's matches where the Moroccan captain, Jezeline Chabak, was being interviewed before the match, the upcoming Morocco match, and against Germany, actually. And she was asked by a BBC reporter, first of all, the question was homophobic as shit. First of all, I'm just going to say it. Second of all, it's clear that this BBC reporter was obviously trying to out not just Ms. Chabak, but also other players. And in his line of questioning, he asked, and trigger warning, he asked, in Morocco, it is illegal to have a gay relationship. Do you have any gay or queer players in your squad? What's life like for them in Morocco? He is literally trying to force queer Moroccan players out of the closet so they can either, in the article, the Moroccan law is that they can be fined or thrown in jail. But we also know that in these countries with harsh penalties against queer folks just living, we know that it's not just a matter of them, you know, they are putting their lives on the line by just living in countries that don't want to see them living in their truth. And this BBC reporter had the caucasity to try and out these Moroccan players. Plain and simple. He is a card-carrying homophobe. He indicated afterwards, after he made a half-hearted apology, that he didn't mean to say it and that he wasn't trying to cause harm. When in fact, asking that question was causing direct harm. There's no, we're not mincing words here. That's exactly what he was trying to do, right? Like, there have been instances where players have come back to their home countries. There was a player in the Men's World Cup who, after his home country was knocked out of the group stage, I believe he was murdered for standing up for human rights in his country prior to the, I think they were, I think it was, something in relation to the wearing of, I think it was something in relation to the pride flag. I think if I remember, if my memory serves me correctly, but it's really infuriating to me that this reporter honestly thought he could get away with this level of reporting, right? We're still, again, we're still in the early stages of the World Cup, a World Cup that already has so much at stake for it, right? So many countries are playing at their peak. So many countries are doing everything they can to win. For several countries, it is their first World Cup for the country's history, men's or women's. I think the Philippines is one of those countries where it's their first World Cup. And I want to say Vietnam is one of the other countries. I could be wrong. But so captain's privilege, you'll have to excuse me if I get one of the countries wrong. But yeah, I mean, this is an exciting time, and this incident isn't getting enough attention. But you know what? If you know anything about us at the Banter Pub, we are going to shed light on racism, xenophobia, ableism, homophobia in the beautiful game, while uplifting the beautiful game. We are going to do the dirty work of shining a light on some of the negative things that are happening in the beautiful game as well, while uplifting players and individuals and clubs that are doing great things. We're also going to shine a light where things would otherwise be hidden. And yes, do we cut up in the Banter Pub all the time? Do we have rambunctious, thought processes in the Banter Pub? Yes. Do we have hot takes? Yes. Are we, we are obviously the sauciest team in the game, and with the spiciest takes on the pitch. If you know that when you come to the Banter Pub. Some other thoughts that I have as far as the Women's World Cup is concerned as it's kicking off. I really think that Team USA and their marketing team really should not have put out the ad that they did as it relates to the American exceptionalism ad, where some major countries were trying to figure out how they can beat Team USA and avoid a three-peat of three World Cup victories. And the most recent group stage match with Team USA, they drew with the Netherlands. Not only did they draw with the Netherlands, but had they not equalized in the second half, the Netherlands would have won all 3 points, and they would have been top of the group. So, and Team USA was not playing that well. I mean, Vladko, the Team USA's manager, barely made any subs. There were several players that were, kind of missing in action during the World Cup. I felt like they really lost an opportunity to excel and do well. And I know we made our predictions previously, but those predictions may be in jeopardy significantly, because I'd be hard pressed to think that Team USA is really in jeopardy. If Team USA plays as bad as they did in the first half against the Netherlands throughout the rest of the group stage and then going into the knockouts, there is a good chance they will get knocked out of the World Cup final, just like they didn't, just like they got knocked out of medal opportunity in the Olympics. It's really something. you know, it's really shocking that the manager is kind of oblivious to making vital changes right now. Yes, it's still early in the group stages. Yes, there's still a lot of matches to play, but at the end of the day, like these mistakes are so apparent and so clear that it's that I don't know if Team USA falters in any way, and God forbid gets knocked out in the knockout stages of the World Cup this year. I'm not saying now is Team USA the strongest it's ever been? Yes, it is the strongest side it's ever been. But the way they played against the Netherlands in that first half, if they play like that in any other group stage match, or at any other, if they play as bad as they did against the Netherlands in the first half, against the in the remainder of the group stage matches or anything like that, it's going to be tough sledding. On the flip side, shout out to the Super Eagles of Nigeria. As of this recording, they beat the brakes off of one of the host countries, Australia, and are top of their group. So shout out to one of our hosts, birth nations of Nigeria, and the Super Eagles, playing exceptional football, playing for not just their nation, but for the continent. Obviously, there are several countries of the motherland that are represented in the World Cup this year, representing the Conference of African Nations. But listen, y'all, like, between the Morocco situation, I wanted to kind of make this a three-pronged kind of situation, a three-pronged attack, if you will. Wanted to talk about the Morocco situation and how fucked up that situation is. And I believe that BBC reporter, first of all, the BBC reporter should be outed. The fact that he was trying to out queer people and the fact that he's not named in any media is ridiculous. Like, he should be named, period. He should be named, and he should also be fired. His apology, I wouldn't have accepted it. I know that for, good sportsmanship, I know from good sportsmanship standpoints, they had to accept it, but it was very half-hearted to me. I also wanted to talk about how disappointed I was with Team USA, because I was disappointed. And lastly, I wanted to end and talk and give justified flowers to the Super Eagles of Nigeria, because they are playing tremendous football, top of their group. If they maintain this run of form and beat Ireland, they will go into the knockout stages with the wind at their back, which for Nigeria as a nation, not just for men's football, but also for women's football, that is tremendous. That is excellent. That is, you know, Nigeria has one of the strongest federations in Africa. They are repatriating a ton of players on the men's and women's side, many of the women's players were active for this go round for the World Cup. So, you know, really looking forward to see how far the Super Eagles can go. Obviously excited to see where the U.S. women's team goes as well. But again, if Vladko plays them like he did on them going forward, he played Team USA in that Netherlands match in the first half as if Netherlands was as if it was the final of the World Cup already. That's how he played it. And you cannot, like, you're still in the group stages. Yes, every match you have to win. But if you play the Netherlands like they're the final boss when you're still in the group stages, like, where is the morale of the team? And it felt like the team was more interested in carrying on than the manager was. And you know, I really hope they address the issues in the midfield, because that midfield was absent as fuck against the Netherlands in the first half. Shockingly absent, because they have a pretty stout midfield, and the fact that they were relatively absent and the Netherlands was able to drift balls almost too easily was incredibly shocking. And not just in the first half, you know, in the second half as well. The U.S. was relying not even on goals from inside or outside of the box. They were only, it seemed like, had the set piece not occurred, then the match would have ended in a, did, you know, yes. Did the U.S. have chances? Yes. But it felt like throughout the match, they were relying on set pieces and not on straightaway shots at goal, which is not how Team USA has played in the past. That's it for me for another edition of This Is Your Captain Speaking. This is your captain, Neil. Thank you to those of you who have stuck with the Banter Pub as we are entering in another great season. We will have content pushed out for you. This episode will be readily available for you immediately to keep you active and ready to go. But keep your ears and eyes peeled for not just YouTube content, but also more audio content as well. We are actually switching our audio provider, so that's part of the reason that we have had a little backup issue with some of our recordings, but our recordings are in the process of being completed. We are going to have them out for you, and we apologize for not getting them out to you in an orderly fashion. So just stay tuned and get ready for some wonderful and exciting and spicy Banter Pub content.